Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. Lee Keegan will be with myself and Rory a little bit later on to chat football, but Shane McGrath is with us to chat hurling. And got to start with your own county, Shane. What is going on in Tip?
Sure, we're not sure still, Jackie. I was saying, even before the game, like, we didn't really know what the team was going to be. We got the team and we didn't know what the performance was going to be. And look, we see what happened. I just think it's, like, I don't know if people realise Limerick weren't even at full tilt. Like, you know, Limerick weren't even that good. And they still beat us by 15 points. But, like, as I was saying during the week there, it's not that people are mad. Like, you know what I mean? We understand that when you go and play Limerick, or everyone has to understand when you go and play Limerick nowadays, the realism of getting a victory, everything has to be fully right for it to happen. You have to have a really good day. They have to be a little bit below their best. And you have to have a bit of luck. And as I said, like, the only thing that really happened during the week was Limerick were a little bit below their best. You know, some of them a good bit, and still won the match by 15 points. So it's not that you're mad about that. It's, as I said, like, it's just the manner of the defeat, Jackie, and just the amount of time some of the Limerick lads had on the ball. Just, there didn't seem to be that real drive, lads, that, like, bar Craig Morgan, I don't know who actually got even booked. I'm not promoting lads without getting booked, because I've seen enough cards blow in Cork on Sunday between Clare and Cork. Like, but I just feel there was no drive in it, Jackie. Like, there was no desire. Like, there's no, like, we have tactics and we have stats and video analysis have never been as good ever. Like, but maybe sometimes it just comes down to, like, do you want it more than the person you're marking? And the other day, for a lot of the battles, it seemed like we didn't, like. And I think that's where the frustration is lying with a lot of Tip people. I think, you know, talking to people who've gone to matches a long, long time. And look, I've been part, Jackie, of Tip teams who took a few serious hammerings down through the years. But, like, they were saying this was as bad as they've seen in a long time. And, like, the word embarrassed was used. Because, not because of who you're playing or the result. It's just the manner of the defeat. And I think there's very little motivation should be needed for the group this week. Like, it should be like, look, it just was nowhere near good enough. There was no hooking, blocking, no winning, not many 50-50 battles, just no kind of passion in the team. And that might sound a bit harsh or a bit critical, like, when you're watching from the outside. Because the players will feel this, like, and the management, they'll feel it more than anybody's the loss. But there just has to be back to basics now. Start hurling with a bit more freedom down on Saturday night, because I know mathematically you can still get through. But if Tip don't win Saturday night, Jackie, for me, it's done. It's done for 2024, and maybe for a little while after. I don't know, because psychologically, it's hard to bounce back, like, you know. But the good thing about this, Jackie, is you don't have to wait 3, 4, 5 months for this. Not even a few weeks. 6 days. I think it's ideal. I think that would have trained maybe once, probably get the team tonight because the match is on Saturday. I really hope that a lot of those lads get a chance, Jackie, to redeem themselves, that we don't see 7, 8, 9 changes. Because to be honest, we don't have the players in reserve for 7, 8, 9 changes. That's to be totally honest. Like.
And that's the problem, Shane, because you can resist the urge to either panic and say, listen, we got the whole thing wrong, or you double down on it. And if it doesn't pay off, you could find yourself in an even worse position. As you say, maybe the season is done for this year and next year. You're talking about some of these stalwarts of Tipperary who've had long careers, very successful careers behind them. But for some of them, you'll feel this weekend is pretty big too.
Yeah. And we just had a golden generation of lads. And I won things because of those lads, because of Brendan Maher, Paddy Maher, because Noel and Bonner are still there, because of Shamey. It's very hard to replace those lads. And Limerick can find it very hard to replace this group as well when they step away, you know. But was the killing thing for the rest of us is they're not going to be stepping away anytime soon, you know, with average ages of, you know, 27, 28 years of age. Like, so look, that's all everyone wants now, Jackie. Tipperary people want anyway. They just want a good performance, like a good kind of real passionate, honest performance, you know. We all want to leave the jersey in a better place and when than what we have it, or try to do that. And the Tip fans, and be honest, I don't know how many are going to travel down Saturday night. That'll be tough as well, but that's just where it's at right now. And this is their chance now Saturday night. It'll be up to them to go out and just give a really, really passionate performance. You know, do what they can. Are Waterford going to be afraid of us? Absolutely not. So we were only talking about a couple of weeks ago. Their best record in Munster was against Tip. So if there's one team they don't want to fear about playing in Munster, it's Tip. So
yeah. Ironically, Rory, right? Tipperary need all the things that Waterford actually showed on the first day, because we didn't know what we were going to get them from them. But that, like that hard work, that attitude, that fight and that want, and the sight of a Tipperary jersey coming at those Waterford fans is only going to spur them on a little bit further.
That was exactly, I mean, that's the thing about Waterford. I felt the first day against Cork, they brought a sort of a championship warlike mentality and Cork didn't. And the result showed in the end. The key thing from a Waterford perspective, and the question I suppose that many people will have, is can they back that up with a second performance? We've seen Waterford teams go out and pull off one-off victories before and fail to deliver consistency and go out and do it again. Now they've put themselves into an incredible position. They have 2 points on the board with only one match played. Like, put it into context, Cork have no points on the board with two matches played. So what an incredible position for them to be in with still three games to go. This game is at home. There seems to be a better buzz about Waterford hurling on the back of the Cork win. The Davy Doubters, I think, are quiet now for another little bit, I'm sure. And we saw him, obviously, in the Gaelic grounds last Sunday. He would have been keeping a close eye on Tipperary. I'm not entirely sure if he would have learned a huge amount. There's no way Tipperary are going to play like that again. They can't. Whatever's in Tip is going to have to come out on Saturday night below in Walsh Park. I think from Waterford's perspective, though, like, I think can they now go and put a second performance back-to-back and effectively plant 1 foot, maybe even 2 feet, in the knockout stage hurling, and if it end Tipperary's year and potentially end Cork's at the same time. That's the only thing. I mean, a Tipperary win does blow open, wide open, yeah, that third place playoff again. So I suppose a lot of neutrals and non-Waterford people will be hoping for a Tip win, which is a bit weird. But I think, I'd expect it to be extremely competitive in terms of the Tipperary team. It's still, I mean, I know Shane's piece there in advance of the Limerick game made mention of the fact that he could probably nail down 2 to 3, maybe 4 positions that were absolutely nailed on certainties. And then the rest was very, very difficult to call. And I think you're into a similar type scenario this weekend where there's huge uncertainty around team selection once again. And like even last Sunday, we saw when, you know, the house started burning, it was the older firemen that he had to call on, the Noel McGraths and the Bonner Mars that had to come in to try and rescue the situation. Now, look, it's not great if you're trying to pull fellas at that age to come into that type of an environment. And I suppose, look, the likes of Jake Morris, really disappointing, no score, taken off. You know, you had a couple of others in so far. Sean Hayes taken off at half-time. I don't know whether that was an injury or not. You know, look, there's just a couple of players in the Tipperary perspective that really need to stand up, take ownership of this team now and really drive it on, because the mood and the natives are getting restless, and it doesn't take much in Tipperary as a Tipperary friend of mine said to me a couple of days ago.
Yeah. The only thing is, though, Shane, Rory's right. If they win on Saturday,
everything changes.
Everything's on the table again. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, I think sometimes just that hesitation around, you don't know what they're going to give you, that's what makes you nervous about it, that we just don't know with Tipperary. But in any other given year, you would have said, right, win one game and let's see what happens. It's just hard to tell if they're going to do that this year.
Yeah, she's like the deaf dog, a hard one to call, is that what they say? I just really hope he had a good performance, to be honest. And like, as I said, I really hope that he does go with a lot of the 15. I just speak personally as a player, the match I wanted to play the most was the one after the one that I knew myself I didn't go well in. And more often than not, you know, managers will say a tick player is maybe the best player to play, because He's going to go out there, you know, in any sport, in hurling, camogie, ladies football, whatever it is, soccer. Like, when you know yourself personally, deep down inside, that you didn't give everything, or that you could have given more, or it just didn't work out for you, maybe we're too uptight. Like, to be honest, I think we looked afraid to make mistakes in the Gaelic grounds last Sunday. Maybe that's down to the opposition you're playing as well. That's just where they're at. They have that fear factor over many, many teams at the moment. We're one of them. And I just hope that, as I said, like, that a lot of these guys are getting their chance again. Because if they do, I do feel there's something coming, Jackie, out of it. And I honestly do feel, right, that if a lot of those lads get a chance again and the performance comes up, I do feel we're going to win the game Saturday night. And I don't think we're the best team in the country. We're not probably even in top 3, 4, 5 mentions at the moment, to be totally honest. But, like, we're not 15 points worse than Limerick. I honestly do believe that. And as I said, there should be very, very little motivation needed this week for them. You know, you're going down there. You know, Davey will play the world is against us card again, and Tip have no respect for us. And, you know, but he plays that a lot. And, you know, it'll work. But for me as a player, there has to be a different narrative as well to try and get the motivation going, you know, for the Waterford lads. What's the motivation for Waterford going to be this week? Like 2 weeks ago, it was that everybody was writing them off. They're probably going to be favourites now to win this game. So you can't say everyone's writing you off now. So it'd be interesting to see what the narrative will be. Maybe it will be that, no, people still don't believe we're good enough to do this. People still believe Tip will come down and turn us over. So I think that side will be good. The other thing for me, that's tactically, you know, aside from all the blood and gut stuff and dying with your boots on stuff, you know, which we have to see, you know, the other side is tactically, are Waterford going to change tack from the way they played against Cork? Because the way they played against Cork was, players, the best players were in their positions. But if you go back to the success Tip or Waterford have had over Tip, it's usually a running game they play.
Yeah.
And they've ran the legs off us there a couple of times. And as I said, it has worked. You don't have to go back too far to see that. Even when Liam Cahill was over Waterford, down in Cork 1 year, they just ran at us and ran at us. So I'd be interested to see, will Davey stay with the, let's hold our forwards inside, hold our shape, always have 2-3 bodies in there? Or is he going to say, right, let's run at these lads? What that's going to mean, Jackie, is you're probably not going to have the bodies up front if they want to play that running game, or they're going to work it through the line. So that'll be an interesting call for me from a Waterford point of view. From a Tip point of view, tactically, it's just go out, or with freedom. Let's just give this everything and see where it takes it. Like, so, but I think the Waterford side of it is actually more interesting tactically, how they're going to set up.
Yeah, because, like, I just think the motivation for Waterford is never going to be greater, Rory, given what they're coming off and the win and sitting back last weekend and watching everything happening and knowing, as you say, that they win this weekend and they're in.
Yeah. And for the very, very first time, like, they'll have Cork and Tip on the head-to-head. It would take an unbelievable quirk of results where three teams would need to end up on 4 points and their scoring averages. And look, like, there is that. As a fellow said to me yesterday, if you could have this weird situation where three teams end up on 2 points and one of those teams goes through on the basis of scoring differences again, and that doesn't bode well from a Tipperary perspective, because the one thing you'd absolutely must avoid just in case that does happen is hidings, and getting a 15-point beating is not good. But in terms of selection and in terms of personnel, I don't really see Waterford changing a huge amount, Shane. Do you?
No, I'd say, like you say, as in how they set up, I'd say very, very solid at 3 and 6. Now, Punty was super the last day at 3 and tied the work of a super at 6. They didn't have that for some time, you know, having to do it in. Even Jamie Barron is very solid in the middle.
And it doesn't sound like they have any injuries?
No, it doesn't. Like, it seems like they're going to have a full deck to pick from. And the other thing is, I suppose, Rory, is that, like, they're all their forwards can are comfortable playing in all the forward positions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, for me, they're at their best when they're keeping bodies up there. And they're, you know, they're hitting the space in front of the Desi Hutchinsons, or, you know, Bennett could slip in full forward. Mikey Kiley can come out in the half forward line. You know, this kind of thing. Like, you know, there can be that interchange and going on between them. So that's that. Like, I don't think there'll be too many changes from a Waterford point of view, because it's definitely not broken. There's no need to fix it. They got their best performance in a long time going with what they had last week. They looked confident in the ball, and they Waterford actually looked like a team that were playing. You know, they threw the shackles off. They weren't afraid of making mistakes. And whether that was player led now or not, like, is interesting for me. Like because it's been like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, if people are saying the Waterford are kind of, no, they're building on what they did in the league, they played completely different against Cork than what they played in the league. So I don't know where that came from. If it came from the players, fair play to the management for, you know,
listening.
Just being, for accepting that, look, what we did maybe isn't working. This is the way you want to play. This is the way we go. It obviously has worked for him. And as you said, Jackie, they will absolutely be delighted that Tip are coming to them. Because if it's one team they wanted to play to try and back up the Cork team, it would have been it's Tip.
I remember last year I was watching, because I think the game was on GA Go and Bubbles was doing the commentary. He was in the panel, he was pitch side. And I think Grainne McIlwain asked him, how do you see this one going? I think Waterford are going to win, he says to Grainne. Now, this is Waterford that had lost all three matches. And she said, well, what's your reasoning for that, John? And he said, because Davey hates Tip.
You know, Rory, I have to say this is funny. Down in Parky Creeve on Sunday, and Bubbles was actually doing GA Go with Owen Cadigan, Richard Hogan. Jamie Hickey was there as well. But anyway, the two of us ended up going down to the Premium to watch the Tip and Limerick match. And Joe were there and we're just surrounded by some Clare fans stayed on, but mainly Cork fans. And just as soon as the second goal went in, just myself and Bubbles looked at each other and went, we'll just go home now because this isn't getting any better. But look, what I'm trying to say is it's fair funny. Must have walked out past maybe 300 or 400 Cork people. And because of the way the result went for them, not one word was said. So it's like, you know, it was the other way around. And
you'd have been gone.
It was just one of those things. But yeah, you know, Bubbles is good.
He's a character.
I tell you, if Bubbles is nothing else, Bubbles will be honest. And that's the honest thing.
It's working for him. It's definitely working for him. Right, come here. We better talk about Leinster as well, because I think after what happened with Wexford at the weekend, Shane, it's... I don't know where the rebuilding starts now, how you overcome something like that, where, look, I know that third place spot is still open and they will absolutely think that, but there's no doubt about it. This is a massive setback for Keith Rossiter. What does he even do to just kind of reignite that spark in this team that they showed in the league? Because it's been missing in the championship.
Maybe does he ring Darren Gleeson and ask him, what did you say to the Antrim boys for the week coming up to this match? Because now people have to realize, well, Antrim had 4 or 5 lads back. They were at home.
They targeted that game.
They knew that this was the one they really had to win. And it was the one that was needed for Darren Gleeson, like, as well as all the Antrim boys. And there was just an outpour of emotion, really, wasn't there, up in Corrigan? Yeah. You can go back to everything, but they wanted to win that match more than Wexford. And I've only played against Wexford a couple of times in championships, so I was asking Richie Hogan his opinion last week, because they're playing them, you know, year in, year out, and obviously there's that fierce rivalry between Wexford and Kilkenny. And like, he made a good point to me. He said there's kind of two Wexfords, like, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of effect. There's the Wexford that will go out and beat Kilkenny in Nolan Park in the championship when nobody thinks they will, and then there's the Wexford that loses to Antrim above in Corrigan Park when everybody feels they should be winning this game 7, 8, 9 points plus. Yeah. But there's no kind of in-between Wexford. There's kind of, you know, two gears, that one or that one. So the one they have to bring now this week, obviously, is the one where they're going out and they're overturning the likes of Kilkenny and Nolan Park. Because if they don't, if they bring what they brought in Corrigan Park, they're going to get absolutely annihilated. Like, so that for me is it in a nutshell. And it was just interesting to hear Richie's take on it, who's playing against them all the time, that they either would hammer Wexford or Wexford would beat them. But they'd never be like 3 or 4 points in it, like, you know, from kind of playing them all the time. And I think that's what it is with them. I think there's an over-reliance on Lee Chin there at the moment. And he might have maybe 50, 60% of their championship scores got on him by himself. Now, he was just kind of unmarkable above Corrigan. I think he finished up at 112.
Yeah.
I think the rest of them are going to really have to stand up. You can't, you know, no more so than Dublin with Donald Burke. There can't be this reliance just on Lee Chin. Like, he's a top, top class player. He's in serious form. But if it's just down to him against Galway, there's only going to be one result. So I whatever Wexford comes to the match, I suppose, at the weekend, that's going to dictate how this goes. Because, Jackie, it could be a hammering for Wexford.
It's their last potential home game of the season, last chance for their fans to see them, because if they don't get out of this, they've got to go away to Carlow, away to Kilkenny in their final two games. Wexford fans will be waiting a long time, Rory, for them to get back into Wexford Park, which has been a fortress for them in the past. I think that Wexford fans will be giving them a massive push on for this at the weekend, because Shane is right, it could be a hammering, but equally, it wouldn't surprise anybody if Wexford came out and were a completely different team this weekend.
Yeah,
there is that streaky Jekyll and Hyde nature to their performances, absolutely. I think like Shane mentioned, the disappointment that sort of sits around Tipperary at the minute. I think Wexford have been arguably the most disappointing team in both round robins, Munster and Leinster. Given how positive the league campaign was, given the nature of their performances, they looked like they'd turned the corner. They were doing it with a lot of new personnel. They still had huge amounts of experience to come back into the team, which was obviously going to bolster their panel. Dublin looked like they had regressed, and they were primed to certainly make knockout hurling, and even tipped by many, including myself, like that they'd have an outside chance of making a Leinster final. Now you're kind of back to where we were last year, where there was an awful lot of doom and gloom, particularly following the Westmead game. And you would have to argue in a championship sense, and that's ultimately what you're judged on. Have they made any progress in those 12 months, even under Keith Rossiter? And, you know, look, I think they have been disappointing. They have a chance now on Saturday. And, like, you wouldn't put it past them to go out and turn Galway over. 4 o'clock on a Saturday, it'll be probably hardly anyone from Galway there. It should be a sizable enough local, vocal home support. Very partisan. I think they owe the Wexford supporters a performance at the very, very least, because they're a fantastic bunch to follow the team. Will we get it? Who knows? You just don't know with them. They could get an absolute hiding, or they could win a classic by a point.
Yeah. Last word to you on it then, Shane, because to be fair to Galway, they probably need to show a bit of a performance as well. I think they'll be a bit stung by what happened at the weekend as with the draw, you know?
100%, Jackie, because you could go down through the Kilkenny team and who was missing. Like, Owen Murphy wasn't even talked about. You know, you've Owen Cody, you've Adrian Mullen missing, you've Mikey Carey missing. Like, there's four or five lads who are, you know, they're more or less going to be nailed on starting champion, like, starting in the bigger games for Kilkenny, like, and even the Owen Murphy thing, like, I mean, what he brings from a restart position alone, like, it's just, you know, himself and Nicky Quaid, just second to none, like, their ability to, you know, to max out the restart. So, like, Galway have to be looking at themselves as well. You're dead right, like, to say, like, I really thought Galway would want to win that game when I seen any team. I thought, like, this is at home, this is a chance to maybe right the wrongs from the Leinster final the year before, you know, just show on repeat the last minute of the Leinster final, the hurt that they felt, you know, down on their knees in Croke Park. And that should have been enough motivation. So, like, I'm sure for Henry, he's like going, like, what do we have to do here? Like, when is this performance coming that the potential is there? Because I tell you now, they're inside forward line. Conor Whelan and Conor Cooney and Colin Mannion. I think that's as good as there is, Jackie. But I just don't know. They're not maxing out with them. Maybe someone just needs to say something this week, whoever it is. If it's Garrod McInerney, if it's Pádraig Mannion, one of these lads needs to stand up and say, lads, look, enough's enough now. Like, you know, we managers coming in and out here the whole time. We're a really good bunch of players, but, you know, time waits for no one. And there is a lot of them now that are coming towards the end of their careers. And they're a serious, serious group of hurlers. But I think it's down to the players now. I think it really is. Like, that. As managements, they've come in, they've tried things, you know, they've tried different managers, different coaches, they've tried different strength conditioning coaches. I think it's down to them now, like, you know, that's this is a big, big game for them too. You know, in the grander scheme of things, will they get through anyway? They will, Galway will get through. But just to send out a message, I think, to everyone else, and for themselves, Jackie, too, that, no, we're a good group, and this, it has to come. So I think it's, you would set up for a right game there in Wexford Park. Two teams with a lot to prove to themselves, first of all. Yep. And as you said, Wexford, to their great supporters that they have. They really have. So if I had to call it, I still do feel that Galway will win this game. And down in Walsh Park and Watford, if Tip can bring it, I think they'll win as well. So we'll see. Probably be Watford and Wexford wins.
Oh, we'll hold you to that when we see you again. Right, look, we'll leave it there. Shane, thanks a million. And best of luck to Tip at the weekend.
Cheers, Jackie.
So I'll say all of us.
Oh, stop.
He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.
All right, let's chat football then. Lee Keegan has joined us. The big news during the week. Now we have our draw, so we know who's going to be playing who. So let's just bring you through these if you haven't had a chance to see them. In Group 1, you've got the Connacht winner, the Ulster runner-up, Derry and Westmeath. Group 2 is your Leinster football winner, the Connacht runner-up, Roscommon and Cavan. Group 3 is the Ulster winner, the Munster runner-up, Tyrone and Cork. And the Group 4 is the Munster winner, Leinster runner-up, Monaghan and Meath. Which one of those groups would you like to be in, Lee?
Well, I know Group 1 sounds the most tasteful of them all. Listen, I think the troops, some definitely curveball. I think when we realised Derry were third seeds, that was always going to be the big question mark, who gets that group. And so be it. Connacht has obviously been that entry point. So I really don't... See, people find it like an elitist mentality, but I'm still very much under the whole kind of like, you know, risk reward, all that kind of stuff. I would love to see that pot one, even pot two to three, you know, your top two go in there. And it's like a bloodbath because you have to go at it fully, commit to it, because you're in a group with absolutely top end teams. And because we have that little bit of kind of safety buffer, teams can have a week off. And I always look at Kerry last year against Mayo in particular. I think Kerry just took that as a down week. I really do. Yeah. And assessed themselves and got themselves back into the All-Ireland final because it didn't really have the repercussion that it justified the group. I know I don't want to keep repeating the thing with 3Ds, but listen, I think we'll get some cracking games. I don't foresee Sunday being a case of, I'm talking kind of final, been a case of two teams looking at the group stage. I think with the rivalry that we have between those two teams and kind of medal for grabs, I think those two teams will really go at it. But from the point of view of the draw, yeah, it drew up some curveballs, definitely. But that Group 1, it was definitely the most interesting when I seen Derry pop out first.
Mm. I think everybody felt that way, Rory, didn't they? Because yeah. Lee is right. The minute you saw that Derry were going to be in pot three, everyone was thinking, oh, wouldn't fancy drawing them now.
No, they were they're the big shark in that particular tank. But I think, look, it was largely like people are going to give out to me here now again. For me, giving out, but it was a largely underwhelming draw in many ways. I know people are very critical of the fact that Kerry got a soft one and the fact that they'll potentially end up in knockout football without having played a single Division One team in terms of 2025. But like, I'm not entirely sure if I'd buy into that. I mean, we've had backdoors.
I'm not sure that's what Jack O'Connor would have wanted either,
yeah,
by the way.
But Jackie, we've had backdoors, front doors, Super 8s, Super 16s, straight knockouts. Kerry end up in the All-Ireland final most years, no matter what format you, like if whatever format you're having yourself, Kerry will always be there. Kerry and Dublin will always be there. So this notion that they have a soft draw or that it's handy for them, like you never hear them complain. You never hear them say, oh, look, in fairness, whatever format is thrown in front of them, they just get on with it. And I'm sure if they try to make it slightly harder, I'm like, Kerry, I just don't buy that. I think, and like this notion, oh, all the Ulster teams are knocking seven shades out of each other and Kerry have a handy run. Well, look, you know, they brought in all these systems and okay, they're maybe still getting a slight bit of luck. But I suppose, look, the reality for me is, I still go back to it, and we've said this over and over again, and I know there's been a couple of mentions on social media in relation to this, the fact that, look, we've had great drama on the last day. Now, that might have been a quirk. We'll see if that happens this year. I still believe that if you're looking to try and tidy up your calendar, given the congested nature, those prelim quarterfinals are an obvious place to go after and reduce it to two teams coming out. Because ultimately, what do you need to do to qualify? For example, in Cork's group, Cork are going to clear the first day out. If Cork win or even get a draw, but potentially if they win, they're true to knockout football before they kick another football. And to my mind, that's a real, real flaw in the competition. What's your reward for top in the group? Oh, you get a week off. Whoop-de-doo. You don't even get home advantage in the quarterfinal, which at least would have added some level
That small fix, though, Rory, would make a big difference, because if you were guaranteed a week off and a home quarterfinal, that's a massive incentive.
Well, that's
for
big. That's bigger. But the quarterfinals are still fixed for Croke Park. So, like, for example, if you were...
But they don't have to be. That's my point.
No, they don't. You know? But if you were at home in the quarterfinal, and let's say Mayo managed to make it and the game is in Castlebar and they're playing Dublin, and Dublin all of a sudden have to go. That changes the whole dynamic. Though Dublin probably still win.
Let's keep away from Castlebar.
Yeah. I know your record isn't exactly stellar there, Lee. But you know, look, I understand it's only year two of a trial, and in fairness to the GAA, you'd have to commend the fact that they have been brave enough to take this leap of faith with a new system. But it's not perfect.
Maybe no system is, but certainly this one isn't. But the other thing from the GAA's point of view, Lee, all they have to do is point to last year on the final day and go, we had the jeopardy you wanted. We had it in all of the games last year.
A lot of football to get there. Sorry.
Yeah, like it was a great day. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, would we have three better days or three better games if we didn't have the prelims? Because...
My
point is, like, just take Group One example. You're going to have Connacht winners, Derry, if the Ulster losers. So my point is, and Westmeath. Westmeath had a really good year in terms of they could have done better last year in terms of, like, they nearly beat all three teams. So that group alone, just take that group. If you had the top two going through, can you imagine those games, knowing what's at stake? You have your week break then, top two teams, then you go to your quarterfinal. And yeah, put a home advantage. I just think the incentive for those teams there would just be so much more appealing. And it gives those teams so much more to work for. I just think, like, when you go into it, right, and you come down the back of a big game, you're thinking, geez, we're right again this week. We just take that, let the handbrake down a little bit here and not worry about it, because we'll get another game that we'll probably get through okay. So I think if you make those groups more incentive by saying, yeah, the top two go through, and here you go, get your home advantage quarterfinal. I just think all of a sudden you have teams that will just, you'll have that real championship feel. And this whole thing about trying to lead it through, you know, more revenue and all this, we're not probably getting crowds to justify that.
That's a fair point.
That's a big point. Yeah.
So like we're all big crowds right this year and time of year and the weather been awful. Obviously it'll get better, but like, we're going to play, 28 games, 24 games in the next few weeks through these group stages, and we'd only eliminate 14. But is there a real draw for people to go to them? Because we're still going to have dead rubbers, we're still going to have poor games. That's inevitable, I'm not saying that. But it doesn't really give you incentive as a supporter to be going to all those games, because you still know three teams are going to have a chance of getting through irrespective of what happens. So I think if you go back, just simplify it, 4 teams in the group, 2 teams go through, home quarterfinal, and everyone's a winner, because you'll have so much more competitive games in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. Can I ask you about Rory's point there about maybe somebody like a Kerry having an easier run at it than a Mayo? You know, you might make the same argument for Dublin having an easier group than Mayo too. What do you make of what Rory's putting out there, that maybe it's not a balanced system?
But it's never balanced, because again...
Do you think it's advantage to Kerry and Dublin, I guess, really?
Probably yes, but not by any fault of their own. It's just the system that allows them to have that cushion and the probably more downtime, and because they're just so much better as well, Jackie. I think that's what probably makes the discussion point a lot bigger. Like, it's no fault through Kerry or Dublin that people could say that, so I'm not saying, but like, I mean, the reality is that they're walking through provincial. So why don't we bring provincial back maybe before the league or something like that? And therefore we go into it from a league format straight into our round of 16. And therefore, Kerry can have no complaints. Not complaints, but people can have no complaints. I don't blame Kerry. They have to do what they have to do. Sometimes it's nearly harder because, and I find Kerry this year more so, is that I find their form very patchy. I don't think they know themselves really going into the group stage.
That's why I think Jack O'Connor would love to be playing a Division One.
100%. Yeah. Jack would make no bones about that. Like, he needs tests. And I don't know.
People will obviously say you're biased, but I think he got one in Killarney 2 weeks ago.
Not to the same extent that a Mayo might challenge them, or a Dublin, like, you know?
Yeah, like, Cork's...
Although I agree, I thought it was a great game, but I know exactly,
There's only a score in it in the end.
Yeah, for 40 minutes, I still think Kerry were still in probably third gear in some way. I thought they were very rusty.
They didn't play well, and...
We probably didn't really learn. The only thing I've really learned from Kerry at the moment is they're in dire need of a fullback. I don't think they'd planned with Jason Foley for any injury. So that's my worry. Yeah, well, that's, and just reviewing that, like, I think that's a huge positive if he is back. But from Kerry's point of view, Jackie, it's no fault of their own. I just think it's the system that's probably there and they have to go with it. They don't really have an option, to be honest, because what else they meant to do? Just throw a game and then hope to get a top seed to play. That's not the Kerry way, unfortunately. So
yeah, I don't think it ever is going to be either.
No.
What about these games at the weekend and the jeopardy that they throw up then, Rory? Because Mayo Galway, even the prize that Lee is talking about there of where you might end up, he's probably right in that I don't think either manager is thinking, right, if we win this game, this is where we're going to be. If we lose this game, whatever. Because the rivalry is so significant and a piece of silverware, I think, for both teams is significant enough that they'll just go at this in isolation.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to that many Connacht finals. I was at two, in a work capacity once and in a social capacity on the other occasion. Amazing, amazing occasion.
Unbelievable.
Galway Mayo particularly. I mean, incredible. Highly recommend anybody from a neutral part of the country to go and experience it, whether it's in Castlebar or Salt Hill. It's just a fantastic day, full of colour, full of crack. There's what I could only probably describe as a healthy rivalry. I think they're good pals off the pitch, but once the whistle goes and the ball is in, I think it's all bets are off generally, Lee, and it's basically hammer and tongs after that. So I think it's if these two teams were to play each other in a game of snakes and ladders, I think it would be competitive, and I think that would be the case on Sunday. I don't think either management groups would be all that worried about draws at this stage. There's a Connacht medal at stake. To, you know, like in terms of what you're getting off the back of that, it's momentum, confidence, the ability to, I suppose, get your, from a Galway perspective, I think they're slightly more interesting insofar as they've been really searching around for a level of form. Whereas I think we're slightly more sure where Mayo are at. We know that they targeted, well, we don't know, but we're suspecting that they targeted certain games during the league. They got to their 6 points. They were happy enough to kind of sit on that. He used a huge number of players. He gave loads of people opportunities to make a stake a claim for a place on the team. And I think he kind of very much knows his 15 at this stage. And they turned last year's result on its head. Obviously, they started the Connacht Championship last year with a defeat to Roscommon. I know it wasn't a particularly good game the last day out, but the conditions probably played a part in that. And I think they're in a probably, again, very much from the outside looking in and looking at the way Galway struggled over the line against Sligo, you would assume that Mayo are in a slightly better place heading into Sunday.
Yeah. What would a Connacht medal mean for this group, Lee?
I think it's important for the group because, like, I put it in a column this week that I still see Galway probably outside the top four. So I think silver like that is important. Like, just for Galway, for example, like, they're over three in a row. They haven't done that since 84. So that's an incentive straight away. And for Port Joyce, you know, one win out of eight games against Horan next day is probably irking them a little bit. So that as well is, and then Mayo come to Salt Hill is a huge incentive. It doesn't matter if it's Connacht fine or not. So for Mayo, it's funny. There's a couple of stories about Rochie's first Connacht final and McStay's first Connacht final. And to get a medal, I think that's hugely important for those guys. But then for the younger cohort too, Jackie, I think it's important. Like, I know we're probably going to maybe have the whole extinction of provincial, or there's going to be a bigger topic. But for this weekend, I think it's hugely important for the younger cohort, that Mayo team, like Aiden and Killing, those, but they have plenty. But their experience will be key to those younger lads. So I think for Kevin and his project so far, I think it'll be really important to have that in CV and real confidence builder. And they'll want to carry on that form against our biggest rivals. And that's been totally honest. And Salt Hill for that group, and you know, our groups, we love going to Salt Hill. It just felt like a little more of a home pitch. I call McHale Park more of a bouncy castle than a fortress, to be honest, because we just had such a poor record, you know, and that's just a rally, and no, we can't make any bones about that. So, and if you look at any home games in Connacht between, I suppose, Mayo or Stanley Galway, we probably are a disaster at home when we play each other, you know, because we never seem to get results. So I think it's really, really important for Mayo this weekend to break that 3-0 for Galway, but also just go into the group stage momentum. I really honestly don't believe that there's been no chatter here about worrying about pot one, pot two. It's been very much about, let's just beat our rivals on Sunday and get one up of them again and make sure that continues. Because it's a great rivalry. It's one I love playing in. I know the lads are really looking forward to it. And same for Galway. And if you Like, even where Galway are at the moment, injury-wise, form-wise, if the sight of Mayo come to Salt Hill doesn't get you hyped up, well, I don't know what to say. And that's what I'm really looking forward to this game, because I really do think there was so much made of goal against Sligo. I think that's the kick in the arse that needed. I really do. And what really worries me from a goal perspective on Sunday is the side of Cormac Sarton, because for me, his influence is probably the greatest impact on that goal team. Just his presence playing, I think he just adds so much. He's got that old school full forward impact, but he's so quick, he's accurate, and he just causes so much problems. So I think there's a lot of good subplots here. And again, I think from both sides, I think they're just going to go at it on Sunday. And I'm hoping for an absolute dinger, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope you're right. The thing is, for Galway, Rory, it's just because we haven't seen Comer, you know, we haven't seen them as a unit where there's been so many injuries. It's been such a stop-start league. I think the performance against Sligo in some quarters maybe has been overhyped. But it's the uncertainty around Galway, because we know, as Lee says, they're a top four team when they're good. But we haven't seen that, I don't think, at all yet this year.
No, have they been able to get all their front runners onto the field?
That's it, really.
They probably haven't. And look, I suppose every inter-county football team, given the compressed nature and the fact that it's game on game, and that there's a huge level of attrition now, it's going to be difficult for you to always have your starting team or your best players. Now, Comer, I think, is huge for them. I don't know. Is he fit for Sunday? Hopefully he is. Like, Comer to me... Comer, I think, makes them tick, because he's such a totem for them up front. Yeah. And, like, you can bang it into him any way you want. Like, there's still a little inconsistency around midfield. Obviously, Sean Kelly started there the last day, drifted back. Conroy, I mean, again, what age are we at now at this stage? So, I don't know. I think... They've been scrambling around for form during the league. They flirted with relegation. Obviously, they maintained their Division 1 status. I think they are a Division 1 team. But you would have to say, since the All-Ireland Final of 2022, it has been a regression from Galway. Now, having said that, the one thing I will also argue here, Jackie, and I would make the point, I think I was expecting when Dublin started to fall back to the pack in 21 and 22 and didn't make All-Ireland Finals, that we were potentially heading into a slightly more democratic era from a Gaelic football perspective. What I didn't anticipate was the chasing pack to also equally regress. And I think Galway and Mayo are part of that. So the gap hasn't really closed, even though I don't think Dublin are as good as they were. And I think from Galway's...
They're still better, though. That's the reality. Like, you know, Governor, just they're still better.
They're still better than everybody else, in my view, as well. And I would agree, Lee. So I just think from Galway's perspective for Sunday, like, you know, look, I think they'll be under a small bit of pressure just because of the nature of their form. If they're beaten again, it's a very much up and down, stop start nature to the season. Could you say with any certainty then going into the round robin stages that you could hang your hat in them? Probably not. And you know, Pádraic Joyce might be thinking at this stage, depending on how their season pans out after that, you know, have I taken this group as far as I can? Yeah, so look, there's a lot of question marks around Galway, which I'm not entirely sure we'll get all the answers to one way or another come Sunday at 6 o'clock.
I don't think we will either, but what I would love to see from Galway, I hope Cumber starts, you know, I hope.
Yeah.
Because you want the best players, and we want it from a viewer's point of view, because that's what makes these games all better. I think for Pádraic, like, this is year five of a project, and he was very staunch in his first interview. I remember back when he first started that he wants perfection, he wants an All-Ireland medal. Mm. And I really felt when they got the taste of the All-Ireland against Kerry, I thought they were really going to kick on. I really did. I thought this is the taste they want. And then I feel just kind of fumbling since a little bit. Form of players have dipped. Injuries has obviously taken over. So I just find it kind of hard what's gone on the last couple of years. Like, yeah, listen, there is the end. Look, they've had bad luck, but all teams have that. Mayo have injuries too. Paddy Durkin, Gerard O'Connor, Killian, all these guys potentially missing the weekend as well. So I think for Galway, coming out with a strong team like that, I think it's a big year for them. I would probably agree with Rory in that case, that how much further can Pádraic bring them if this isn't the year to do it?
Big questions to be answered there in Connacht. Let's finish off on the Munster final then, Lee, because I think those questions are around Kerry as well. You know, we've talked about them just being up and down. They're obviously still going to be in the last four, two, potentially All-Ireland winners. I'm just not sure if their form yet this season has given a Jack enough to think, yeah, we're ready to go at another tilt, because there has been something off about Kerry.
I just find it very patchy. Like, even during the league, I was waiting for, again, this kind of kick on from them. And we got maybe a half of good football, and then they kind of dropped it again. I think media-wise, and I think everybody is so kind of caught around the Clifford mania. I do think sometimes we forget about the bigger picture of Kerry. And I look at the full-back line, or full-back in general. That was an issue when Jason Foley went. I look at, is midfield still an area they've got better? I think Joe Connor's having a good year in terms of scoring, but it's still a kind of sector you can get at. Have they got more support for Clifford outside of the Sean O'Shea and Paulie? Is there other guys that can help? So I just haven't seen it yet, Jackie, and we're not going to see it Sunday, I don't believe, and I'm not trying to disrespect Clare in any manner, but that's just the reality where we're at. So I think there's a lot of question marks around Kerry at the moment, and when they do finally meet a juggernaut, are they going to be ready for that test? I'm not sure yet, to be honest. So there's still a lot of question marks. And I just love to see, like, I've seen individual performances, like Thomas Sullivan against Cork, for me, just absolutely magnificent. But it's individual stuff. I just don't see it collectively yet. So I'm just wondering, can they get back to that form they got? Like, and we didn't see it too much in All-Ireland final last year, Jackie. We probably haven't seen it greatly since their victory against Galway 2 years ago. So there's going to be those question marks until they probably nail one of those big teams down, but that's going to be a long way off for them. So that just for me is the hanging question. We're not going to see it Sunday. We're probably not going to see it in the group stage. And there's only so much internal games that are going to prep them for that.
The game is in Cusick Park, though, Jackie. And I think that's a good thing from the spectacles Absolutely. Point of view. You will get a big crowd there. Clare are, Clare very often get. There's a perception out there that it's a hurling county. Clare are a jewel county. They're a proper jewel county. And they take a lot of pride in their football. If you go towards West Clare, Milltown, Malbay, Kilmurry, Abrickan, all around those areas, football is massive. And I think they'll have a big crowd. I think they will put in a similar type performance to Cork, insofar as they'll ask Kerry questions for X amount of minutes, and then Kerry, just with that extra level and that extra couple of gears, will probably pull away to win comfortably enough in the end. I wouldn't be overly concerned about them. I was watching the under 20 final last night. They had a lad, Stack, playing midfield. He's going to play senior football for Kerry. And they had another lad who's like a clone of Paddy Clifford, but is actually young Johnny Crowley's son. Luke Crowley, playing in the corner. Well, he was kind of drifting out. Cork had tried three different players on him. He's playing senior hurling, actually, with Steve Kerry as well. He's only under 20, Luke Crowley. What a potential talent there. Now, obviously, way too soon to be thrown in at senior level, particularly senior football level, just yet. But they have plenty of players always, and always will have plenty of players coming through, and Kerry will answer the questions on Sunday, no doubt. But the real tests for Kerry are going to come when they get to knockout football. I don't even think it's going to come in the group stages, unfortunately.
Just a word on Clare, though. Like, I think just like I really thought they were going to be a team that wouldn't regress this year, with like they've lost five of their team from last year.
Fair point.
And what Mark Fitzgerald, I think he's done an absolutely brilliant job. Probably feeling a bit aggrieved that they're still in Division 3, because you look at the Westmeath game and they got a bad decision that kept them down there. So I think he's done a brilliant job to where they are.
And he's got a group where he might think he can get a win there, Lee, as well. They'll target that Cork game. They'll target that Tyrone game. You're potentially looking at an Armagh Donegal. There's no teams in there that they'll think are going to blow them out of the water.
Oh, Clare, they're so dogged. And they're as honest a bunch of players that I've ever come across in terms of, even when they're their Collins, they would do anything for Clare football. And that's no different to what Mark and that team is doing now. Like, I'm shocked they've done this as well as they have. The one thing I looked at last year, like, it was 5-14-15. I would love to see, can Clare, similar to what Sligo did against Galway, can they just bridge that score difference and even just make that a little closer? That, to me, is progression for Clare, whether it's enough for them in the group stage. But I think, Clare always fancy their chances against anybody. That's just the way they're it's ingrained in them. But I just an overall word. I think they've had a brilliant year in terms of what they've done in the replacing such a wholesome figure like Collins and what he's done over the years. So,
Yeah. Absolutely. Interesting weekend ahead. And I think for fans of hurling and football generally this weekend, the thing that they'll be most glad of is that there's less games and that they'll actually be able to watch them all. You can actually relax. And I'm off on my holidays. Damien Lawler will be doing the Sunday game. I said, come here, you can rock in and do the handiest program of the year. Let me do the ones where there's about 20 matches.
That's kind of the way it should be though, Jackie. Like two big games on a Sunday. It's not possible, I know, but
yeah, stick one on a Friday. We'd have a great crack.
Yeah. Oh, listen,
yeah, well, like they played under 20 match last night, and surely there was a massive crowd down there. I know, look, that underage lads aren't working, and you don't have to compensate lads for missing out on work. But like, if you have to compensate lads, compensate them. You know, like it's play like opening up the calendar. And opening up the week and the schedule to Friday, Thursday, maybe even Monday. A Monday game there every now and again might be the worst thing in the world either, you know. And I just think a level of imagination to maybe take the pressure off broadcasters, supporters and everybody else might actually help alleviate some of the stress that currently surrounds the calendar. Which
Hear, Rory. Yeah. All right, lads, we'll leave it there. Wherever you're going at the weekend, enjoy. Don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. And Lee, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. There's the whistle, it's over.